1 Kings chapter 16. So 1 Kings chapter 16. The Lord's given me a little thought on the life of Elijah. And it starts out in this in 1 Kings 16:33, describing the environment a little bit that Elijah was dealing with. So 1 Kings 16, verse 33. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Wow, what a statement to say about a leader. Ahab did more than any rotten person before him that was corrupted with power to provoke the Lord. So Ahab was a pretty nasty person, I would imagine. He was a Democrat. Maybe I shouldn't have repeated that. I think that got recorded. That came from the audience. I won't name names. Yeah, he might have had some political leaning, some direction, and it probably wasn't right. But Ahab served for 22 years over Samaria. Now, 22 years is a long time to influence a culture of people. Generations are born, generations are raised, people are influenced over that period of time. Well, Ahab had a wife, and who knows Ahab's wife's name? Yeah, Jezebel. So Ahab and Jezebel were quite a pair. And I'd say that I'm fortunate enough to have a wife that makes me a better person. And oh my goodness, if I had someone in my life that was making me a worse person. And I got a feeling that Ahab was in a situation where he was already rotten, and Jezebel was pulling him in the wrong direction. Well, Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we'll start at the first of that chapter, Elijah was in a situation to where he was God's man. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So Elijah was in a situation to where he had to confront one of the nastiest king that had lived up to that point. What kind of courage do you think that takes? That's a pretty bold move to walk up to the man in charge and say, you're not doing right, and there are consequences. So my thought tonight is around the position that God put Elijah in, and the fact that sometimes God would have us be very bold and stand, and quite frankly, get in somebody's face. And then sometimes God would have us be very quiet and almost be hidden. So as we go through this story, we're going to see Elijah go in and out of those stages. Elijah stood up to the king and said, I've got a word from God. You're not following the right principles, and God's tired of it, and it's not going to rain around here. So Ahab was actually worshiping the god of Baal, which was the fertility god, which the fertility god was about things being birthed, things growing, crops being prosperous, the cattle, the lands prospering, and it was supposed to bring prosperity to the land. Well, God said, there is no prosperity without me, and I control the water, and God's man is telling you that the water is being shut off. So try to grow and try to prosper without God, and you might turn around and find out that the water is cut off in your life. And we don't ever want to be in that position, do we? So Elijah was in the situation to where he had to stand up. So it was time for Elijah to be bold. And sometimes in our life, it's time for us to be bold. The Bible tells us to be meek. The Bible also describes a righteous anger. I think the key is that we need to know what God wants from us, and we need to be in that spot. And that's really the recipe for success in everything we do. Listen to God, know what God wants from us for that time, listen to His Spirit, and get in that spot. Well, at this time, Elijah was in the spot of being bold. So he warned that the drought was coming, and Ahab, all his works that he had before him were about to start to dry up. So in 1 Kings 17, he said, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years." So judgment came to those that were worshiping Baal, who, as I said, is the god of fertility. In 1 Kings 17, 2, "And the word of God, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Elijah, you've been bold." I'm not reading right now. I'm paraphrasing. "Elijah, you've been bold, but now it's time to shift. Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And, oh, by the way, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. God gave him the exact direction to go at the exact time to go. So if you do the study on this brook Cherith, you'll learn that actually this brook was a, what we call around here, a wet water spring. It was only supposed to be flowing during the rainy season. That's kind of what the, when you get into the Greek and start understanding the meaning of that brook, is it was only supposed to be producing during the rainy season. Well, what did we say had just happened? There was a drought. God had turned off the rain. So Elijah was sent to go sit by a brook that was supposed to be dry in a drought to get his fluids and his sustenance, and he was supposed to wait there every morning and every evening to get bread and meat from the ravens. Now, I would say it's pretty important for us in our lives to listen for and do exactly what God asks us to do. So, if you think of Jonah, God told Jonah, "Go to Nineveh and tell them about me." Jonah said, No, those people, they're not the right people. I'll go this direction." Where did Jonah end up? Any four-year-old knows. Ended up in the belly of a whale, and then ultimately went and did what God told him to do. I'm sure Elijah was not a person that really wanted to go get in the king's face and say, "Judgment is coming to you." But he did it. So Elijah had already learned somewhere in his life that listening to God is a good idea. So if he'd have told Elijah to go hide and go hide by the brook, and Elijah said, "Well, okay, I'm good with the going to hiding part, but why would I go by a brook? Why don't I go by the river? I'll go over here by this river or this lake, or I'll go stay with some friends." Well, that's not where the ravens were delivering meat, and that's not where the water was, because the water actually dried up across the entire land, and we won't study it tonight. But later in this story, when Elijah does move away from the brook, he meets a widow woman that was just about ready to die. She was getting the last bit of meal and the last bit of oil out of her house, and she was going to make cakes. You guys know the story where her and her son were going to eat, and they were going to die. And she's a picture of what was happening in that land. No one had anything because God had cut off the water as judgment for the king. It matters how we lead when we're in a position of leadership. When we lead according to our own bellies and our own desires, people suffer. People suffer that are under our leadership. People suffer who are associated with the people under our leadership. And Ahab was causing thousands upon thousands of people to suffer because he chose to not listen to God. Just as our houses, if we choose not to listen to God, our houses will suffer. Jennifer was reading some verses the other day, and she was telling me, it's sometimes judgment is heaped generation upon generation. And we were thinking about that. What does that mean, generation upon generation? Well, it means exactly that. We pay the sins of our fathers, and our fathers' fathers and our fathers' fathers' fathers have cost us something. And our sins will cost future generations something. It matters how we listen to the Lord and how we align with what the Lord wants for us. So Elijah went by this brook. And he did exactly what God said. And Jezebel and Ahab had folks out looking for him. They were looking for him. They were looking for all the other prophets. As a matter of fact, they had prophets were hidden in a cave, hiding out until things looked better. She was having God's men killed and trying to get rid of Christianity at the time so that the God of Baal could prove that was the way to go. The God of fertility. So the king's worshiping a God of fertility, yet everything around him is dying. Elijah waited by that brook, and then the brook started to dry up. It got smaller and smaller and smaller. The ravens kept bringing food. The brook kept providing fluids, but he's sitting there, and it's getting smaller. So he has a choice. His last orders were, hang by the brook. That's where you're safe. Hide there. But you can see that things are starting to dry up. What do? Do you make a decision to move because it makes sense? Or do you hold for God's word? Well, the Bible says that the brook dried up. And then God said, move. Because it was time to move. It's not time to move until God says move. It's not time to hide until God says hide. It's not time to be bold until God says be bold. So Elijah waited for the word and God said move. So where did he move to? He moved in the direction God told him to, and he found the woman that God told him to find, and he found the woman that was getting her last bit of meal out of the barrel and the last bit of oil, and he asked her, can I have some? And she said, well, you know, my son and I, this is it for us. We're going to eat it and die. I can tell you're God's man. You're God's prophet. I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing because I got 6 pages here and I don't want to keep us here that long. So she said, hey, you're God's man. Sure, you can have some. I guess we'll just all go die together. That was a big paraphrase right there. So he took of it. They ate it. Next day, reached in the barrel, reached for the oil. It was still there. Okay. Next day, same thing. Next day, same thing. Oh my goodness. Not only can God make a wet water spring flow in a drought, He can make a barrel and a vessel of oil never ending. And He did that. So who benefited from that? Elijah benefited because he listened to God. The widow benefited because she helped God's man. The son benefited because he was in the household of somebody that would listen to God. Y'all hearing me here? God's way is the way. God provides. So from there, Elijah was told to move. There was a sickness with her son. He was near death or dead. Elijah also asked God to bless that and brought him, cured his sickness, got him back to health. And then Elijah was told to move again. So he's been in hiding all this time by the brook. He was hiding in the widow woman's house. He was bold, and then he was small. He was hiding, and now it's time to be bold again. God told Elijah to go back to Ahab, get back up in his face, and call him out. So let me find my verses on that. We'll read some of those verses. Okay. So I believe it's chapter 18. Excuse me. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I'm standing before the king, I will surely show myself unto him today. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. And in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. So Ahab sees Elijah and says, hey, are you the one causing all this trouble? And Elijah sees Ahab and says, hey, you're the one causing all this trouble. So what we got here is two philosophies that are starting to clash. One is worshiping a God of fertility, and one is worshiping our God, the God of salvation, the God of Jesus, the God of David, Isaac, and Jacob. So we have what's about to form here, a battle. In verse 15 it says, I'm sorry, I skipped down to 15 a while ago. And verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Then in verse 19, now therefore ascend and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So he said, all right, go get all your prophets, bring them all, and let's get this thing straightened out. So Elijah not only stood up to the king, he stood up to all those other prophets. In verse 21 he said, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long hast thou between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So he stood up in front of all of them and said, you just bouncing around with your different ideas here. Who are you? Who are you going to follow? In verse 23, and he said, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye the name of your gods, and I will call the name of the Lord, the God that answereth by fire, and let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. Call on the name of your gods, but no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. So he was toning them because they couldn't seem to get fire from their God to burn up this offering. And these guys are going crazy. And they cried aloud in verse 28. And they cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till blood gushed out upon them. Yeah, that sounds like a God that I would want to follow, that causes me to cut myself and harm myself. Our God will never hurt us. Satan will always hurt us. Our God may allow us to go through pain to help us, but he will never harm us. Everything he does is for our benefit and to help us. Everything Satan does, even if he's causing us to be blessed, is to destroy us. So these prophets couldn't seem to get fire. And it came to pass in verse 29, when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor that any regarded. If we're worshiping the wrong things in life, you can expect no answer. And that's exactly what they got. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid them on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass in verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. And then what happened in verse 38? Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones. Didn't know stones burned. And the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's what God does with one word when we're in God's will. That's what God does with one gesture when we're gesturing at His command. That's what God does for us when we're on the path that God would have us be on. That's what God can do in any situation, in any of our behalves, even if there's an old rotten king with an old rotten wife with 450 rotten prophets that are working against us. Those things cannot prevail when we're in the spot doing what God would have us do on His behalf. All it takes is a whisper. All it takes is a gesture. And it takes it done exactly the way God wants it to be done. If we deviate from His plan, if we get prideful, if we strike the rock instead of speaking to the rock, we pay. We don't get the full benefit of the Lord. But if we do what He says, and Elijah was doing exactly what He said to honor God in this situation, then God shows His power and God fights on our behalf. And in verse 39, and when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And God can do that, and God can prove Himself to us. Any situation that we have in our lives, God is big enough to overcome that situation for us. God is big enough to overcome the folks who appear to have authority over us. God can give us favor in their sight. God can give us favor in their eyes. God can grease the path for our future if we pick the path that He wants us on. I was thinking the other day about how tired I was. And I was in a situation where I was just dog tired. You ever been dog tired? Y'all know what dog tired means, right? And we are from the same place. Okay, because I would say that in some environments that I'm in, and they'd be like, well, what is dog tired? Well, I know my dogs are tired all the time because they're always laying around sleeping. So I think that's where dog tired came from. But anyway, so I'm coming home one evening, and my wife and I describe it as I'm thin. You know, I don't have much left. I'm tired. And I was thinking, why am I so tired? And I thought, then a picture of a yoke came to my mind. And a picture of me being in a yoke with someone a lot stronger than me. And then a picture of me trying to go a different direction than the strength of the yoke was going. And then I pictured all that weight being pulled by God in that yoke, and me just kind of relaxing and heading in the direction He was going. And I thought, well, maybe that's why I'm tired. Maybe I'm fighting. So I started praying about show me where I'm fighting. You know, we do have physical limitations, but when you're just flat out dog tired, that's stress, you know, all around that. So where am I fighting? I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight God. I want to go His direction. I want to do exactly what He wants. I want this blessing on my life that Elijah had on him. I want to know when it's time to be bold. I want to know when it's time to be quiet. I want to know when it's time to whisper. I want to know when it's time to help. I want to know when it's time to stand back. And I want to listen to God and have Him tell me that. And I want that for all of us. And I know that we want all that. So Elijah had it figured out, and really all he had figured out was listen to God and do what God says when God says it. And I would encourage us to take this picture, these examples from Elijah, and know that it's okay sometimes to be bold, but it's not okay to be bold whenever you want to. And we don't use these examples as an excuse. And it's okay to be quiet and meek sometimes, but it's not okay when it's time to stand up and be strong on God's behalf. So the key is that we got to know what God wants for us, and we got to constantly be listening and adjusting ourselves to what God would have us do. That's all I have. Thank you for your time.